And I was shocked and pleasantly surprised that she said, "Oh, thank you so much for telling me. We would never want to push our religion on anyone. You know, we just appreciate what you're doing."
Welcome to the Humanist Hour, the official broadcast of the American Humanist Association. In this episode, we'll talk about what religions do to encourage people to donate time and money, whether this really makes religious people more generous, and how humanists are fighting witchcraft, or at least accusations of witchcraft. We like to say that we're good without God, but the fact of the matter is that we're not always very organized about it. One of the good things organized religion has introduced to the world is ways to encourage giving and volunteering to help those in need. Foundation Beyond Belief is a secular nonprofit organization that provides a similar structure to help those of us who have left religion, or who never had religion in the first place, when we want to give. Noel George is the executive director of Foundation Beyond Belief, and the former head of the Beyond Belief Network, Foundation Beyond Belief's program that supports secular volunteers across the country. She joins us this week to discuss the history of the organization, its various programs, and how people can contribute time, money, or word of mouth to help Foundation Beyond Belief. She also talks about the matching grant that American Humanist Association is offering this month to support the Humanist Service Corps' work in Ghana.
Hi, I'm Peggy Knutson.
And I'm Jen Wilson.
And we're here today with Noel George of the Foundation Beyond Belief.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'm just going to dive right in. And I would like for you, Noel, to maybe give us a little background about yourself and how you came to secularism. And a little bit about how you got involved with Foundation Beyond Belief.
I actually grew up in Seattle, which was fairly secular. I grew up in a secular household. We didn't ever go to church. And then when I was about 11 or 12, I was talking to a friend from school. She was a little bit older, somebody that I looked up to. And she said something about Jesus. And I said, "Who's Jesus?" And she was horrified and shocked that I didn't know who Jesus was. I thought Jesus was her pen pal in another state or something, which dates me a little bit because, pen pals. So she was horrified and she said, "You don't know Jesus. You have to know Jesus. You're going to go to hell if you don't know Jesus." And she was horrified and upset. And so I went home horrified and upset and told my parents, we don't know Jesus and we need to know Jesus. And it just pretty much what my friend had said. So my parents' response to that was to take us to church. I kind of wish they had just kind of explained that some people believe this and some people believe that and so on and so forth. But they decided instead to take us to church. And so it was a Methodist church, fairly liberal. And I actually went to that church and got pretty into it for a while. I got baptized and confirmed and went to church camps and church dances and met my first boyfriend at a church dance and, all sorts of retreats and things. And it was actually good for me at the time because I didn't have a lot of friends. And here were these people that said they loved me no matter what. So it was good for me for a little while. But as I got older, about 18 or 19, I kind of started really questioning some of the things that they said. Some of the things they said didn't make sense. And as I kind of grew more into my own and found a group of friends that I felt accepted with and stuff, and I actually came out as bisexual. And then my church people didn't love me so much anymore. So I had to
really... how that works.
Yeah, so then, I got to the point where I really questioned, well, do I really believe this or not? And the answer was no. So that's kind of my conversion slash deconversion journey.
That's very interesting. Coming from the Midwest, I completely understand your friend's misunderstanding that you did not know who Jesus was. It's pretty much taken for granted.
Right, right. And she was quite horrified and impressed upon me very much the urgency of needing to know Jesus. So I went home with a fire lit under me pretty much. And maybe that's why my parents decided to take us to church instead of just kind of explaining things to us. But, you know, some people have a very traumatic deconversion because they're forced into it. And the good thing that I can say about my experience is that I was never forced into or out of religion. It was pretty much all on my own, and my family and my parents just kind of let me figure it out on my own and let me lead the way. And so I don't have the trauma associated with religion that some people do, like leaving an abusive partner or whatever. So I feel fortunate in that.
And as you said, you were taken to a Methodist church, a relatively liberal denomination, which probably could lend to that.
Right. Still not liberal enough to accept my bisexuality, but right. You know, fairly liberal as it comes.
And were you still in Seattle at this time?
Yes, I was still in Seattle. I was about 19 when I deconverted, and I lived in Seattle until I was about 27. And I actually didn't get really involved in atheist activism until I moved to Houston at 27. So pretty much my time in Seattle was conversion, deconversion, and then kind of religious apathy for a while.
Tell me about that experience moving to Houston from Seattle.
Well, yeah, I used to say that moving to Houston was like moving to another country because it's so different. The politics and the attitudes and the values and things are so different. When I moved to Houston, I moved for a job in oil and gas. And so I was a field engineer for a large energy company, and I was out in rural Texas a lot, traveling for work. And so moving to Houston and moving to Texas in general was kind of a culture shock because rural Texas is about as different as you can get from, you know, liberal tree hugger hippie Seattle.
You had mentioned in your bio that people would ask you where you go to church when you went to Houston. That probably wasn't as common in Seattle. Was that just in Houston or in the rural areas?
It was both, actually. I said that I used to say that moving to Houston and moving to Texas was like moving to another country. But actually, a few years ago, I moved to South Korea with my family. And I don't really say anymore that moving to Texas is like moving to another country because I have moved to another country with another language and everything. It's still very different, Texas and Seattle, but not as different as, for example, South Korea and the United States. And the funny story, I actually got proselytized to more in South Korea than I ever did in Texas. And I got proselytized to, you know, a fair amount in Texas.
Christian.
Yeah, Christians.
How did you come to get involved with Foundation Beyond Belief?
When I came to Houston, I started feeling kind of isolated, and I started looking for my people, you know, people that I had a lot of things in common with. So I tried a couple different meetings and things like that, Democrats, and never really found a niche until I started going to secular meetings and atheist meetings and humanist meetings. Then the meetings were great, but this was back in 2008, and they were social, and there was a lot of talk about religion and stuff, but there wasn't a lot of volunteering back then. And I felt like if we could get out into the community and kind of show people, hey, we're good people, we care about our community, that it would really serve to dispel some of those myths were even worse back then, which was that atheists are bad people, or that we, you know, eat babies and all those things that they say about atheists. So I started a charity to do that, and it was based here in Houston. We planned different volunteer events, I did that for a couple years and then learned that Dale McGowan was doing the same thing. He had started this charity called Foundation Beyond Belief. And so what we decided to do was merge our two charities. And so we merged. He was doing something slightly different, which was people would give monthly and they would give grants to different beneficiaries every quarter. And so they weren't really doing volunteering, but we just felt like, you know, our goals were similar. And so we decided to merge. And so we incorporated volunteering into Foundation Beyond Belief at that time. And I ran the program, and that's how I got involved.
So there are two aspects to Foundation Beyond Belief. One is the giving portion and one is the volunteer portion. Is that correct?
Well, there were in 2011. Now there's actually four different programs.
After Foundation Beyond Belief began, how did you develop these four different facets of the foundation?
Things have just kind of evolved very organically. The beneficiary giving program was the first program that we had, and then the volunteering program came about in 2011 when I joined Foundation Beyond Belief. And the other two programs are the Humanist Disaster Recovery Program. That started pretty early on, where they would collect money after a disaster and funnel it to a beneficiary. Then we created another aspect of that program called Humanist Disaster Recovery Teams. And this, I don't know if you've heard of Rebecca Witzman.
Most of our listeners probably have heard of Rebecca.
Okay. And if you don't recognize the name, she's the one who Wolf Blitzer outed on CNN by asking her, "You've got to thank God, right? You've got to thank God after the Moor tornado."
Right.
And so, you know, she was proselytized to while she was picking through the remains of her home after this tornado. And she thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. And so she approached Foundation Beyond Belief about having volunteers, disaster volunteers. And so we created the Humanist Disaster Recovery Program Teams, which volunteers go out after a disaster and help clean up and so on and so forth. And we don't proselytize. We're secular. So, and then the fourth program is Humanist Service Corps. That is a program that Connor Robinson brought to us. You may have heard of Pathfinder Project, where the four volunteers went around the world evaluating different organizations to partner with, and eventually settled in northern Ghana in the working in the witch camps there, trying to improve conditions for the accused witches, as well as eliminate and reduce witchcraft accusations. So it's kind of like it's an international volunteering service program, kind of like the Peace Corps, but with humanist principles.
You're listening to the Humanist Hour. I'm Stephanie Zavan. This week, Peggy Knutson and Jen Wilson are speaking with Noelle George, Executive Director of Foundation Beyond Belief, about her organization and what it accomplishes.
That particular program accepts just a few volunteers, is that correct? And they're vetted pretty carefully.
Yes, that's correct. We have three volunteers this year. We had four volunteers last year. So, and it's a year-long commitment to live overseas in Ghana and do work there. So it's kind of the volunteering.
Not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, it's volunteering on steroids, I guess.
Jen. I know you were talking a little bit to me earlier about some concerns that other people have had with donations from atheists or humanists.
That's right. Absolutely. Obviously, the religious groups get a lot of PR that the humanist movement doesn't necessarily have. Right. And recently, I was reading about a children's home in Muskogee, Oklahoma, that rejected a donation from an atheist group simply because it had come from an atheist group, even though you know, it seemed like they could obviously use the funds. And yeah, I'm curious whether you guys have run into that very much and how you form your relationships with the people you help.
Right. We haven't run into it a lot. We have run into some things. Back when I ran the charity in Houston, the volunteering charity, before I merged with Foundation Beyond Belief, we were rejected by a nursing home. We wanted to go in and kind of visit with the residents of the nursing home, and we were told that there were no atheists there, that, you know, the residents didn't want to talk about religion and so on and so forth. So we found another place to volunteer. But a lot of times there's pushback. Not a lot of times, but when groups don't want to work with a secular organization, it's not always real blatant, like this recent case in Oklahoma. It's more just kind of not getting back to us or giving us a little runaround. I don't know if you remember the incident a while back with American Cancer Society that we wanted to give them $500,000. And I know Hemet wrote about it on his blog. If you Google Foundation Beyond Belief and American Cancer Society, you can kind of read about that story. But I mean, by and large, for the most part, groups are very happy to work with us. We don't hide that we're atheists. We definitely let them know. And there was an interesting story recently when we went to, with the disaster recovery team, to South Carolina to rebuild homes after the flooding there. And these women came up to us and, you know, they asked kind of, you know, to speak to someone, and I was there. And so they came and spoke to me, and they gave this little quilt square. And they said, you know, we just want to let you know that we're praying for you and God loves you. And, you know, we think it's great what you're doing and so on and so forth. And I kind of, they said, please take this, you know, quilt square. And I was kind of taken aback, and I said, no, thank you. I said, we're secular and I don't need that. And I was shocked and pleasantly surprised that she said, oh, thank you so much for telling me. We would never want to push our religion on anyone. You know, we just appreciate what you're doing. And I said, actually, I will take that. You know, thank you for your thoughts. And as she went around to the rest of the group, they adjusted what they said. And they said, we're thinking of you. We appreciate what you're doing. And so on and so forth. So it was great that they, you know, kind of could see that there are people out there doing volunteering that aren't religious, and they kind of adjusted their message for us.
Yeah, that's terrific. There's an inclusion there that I don't think a lot of us see very often. That's
right.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it sort of addresses the issue of visibility. And I know there has been a little bit of disagreement in the atheist humanist community as to whether we should be overtly visible in our secularism when helping. Foundation Beyond Belief, I think they want to be visible. They want to be known as a completely secular organization. What are your thoughts on that? How do you explain to people why visibility is so important?
Good question. Well, I think there's two pieces to this. One is that we don't do good things because we think there's some kind of reward out there. We do good things as humanists and as atheists, as people that don't believe in God. We do them because we think it's our responsibility, because there's no one else, no, you know, person up there looking out for us all. We do things because it's the right thing to do. So that's, you know, the reasons for doing things are different. We don't do them with a ulterior motive in mind. So we don't proselytize. And when we're out, we don't want to stoop to the level of the religious, which is to use, you know, and not all religious people do this, of course, but some, you know, religious charities use the charity as a way to convert people. And so we don't want to do that. But we also don't want to hide that we're secular, that we're atheists, that we don't believe in God, that we're humanists. We should be who we are. And so there's a fine balance between when we're out there doing volunteering, you know, getting into debates and trying to convert people and stuff is not something that we do. And our volunteers, when we went out to humanist disaster recovery teams to our first deployment, there was some discussion about this because the volunteers said, you know, we're working alongside this church group and this person's saying, like, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do we say? You know, and so we say that we're atheists. We say that we don't believe in God, but we don't debate. You know, if somebody tries to get into a debate with us, we say, I'm not here to debate. You know, we can say whatever we're comfortable with, but an example is to say, I'm not here to debate. I'm here to work. I'm here to help people. And it also is different if it's somebody that you're volunteering alongside versus somebody that you're helping directly. Like if the woman who owned the house, you know, that we were working at had wanted to pray, then we probably would have respectfully kind of stood aside while they prayed. And so, you know, it's about the person that we're trying to help. It's not about us and our, you know, our beliefs. And that's what we try to convey. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a little bit about my philosophy on that.
All right. Thank you. I'd like to switch gears a little bit here and go back to the giving portion. That's the branch that began with Dale McGowan. And
yes.
I believe people can give monthly and it goes to different organizations. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and how you choose the beneficiaries of the giving? And can people just give one time? Do they have to sign up monthly? Can they choose who the money goes to? And talk a little bit about the fundraiser that's going on right now.
The giving program was the first program at Foundation Beyond Belief. And the idea was, Dale's idea was, he researched religious giving versus non-religious giving. And there were studies that came out around that time, 2008, 2009, that said that religious people give a ton more than non-religious people. And, you know, he thought, that can't be right, because, you know, non-religious people are generous too. For one thing, I don't think they count, you know, I think they count giving to the church alongside charitable giving, whereas we don't have that. We atheists don't have, you know, don't count giving to your local secular organization as charitable giving.
Well, there's also no umbrella that encompasses secular giving, because it goes
right
to a lot of different charities, and you don't give them under the name of your particular denomination. So
right,
it's very hard to count.
Right. So on the one hand, there's difficulty counting in the numbers. But on the other hand, you know, you're exactly right. There wasn't a way to give as a humanist, as a secular person. And that's why Dale created the Humanist Giving Program and Foundation Beyond Belief, because it's been shown that, you know, the way that people are reminded to give can increase their giving. So, you know, passing around a plate every Sunday, when people are reminded and they have a community that they're giving with, they give more. And so Foundation Beyond Belief is the plate, is the humanist plate that you pass around every month, and you can sign up online and give monthly. People can give one-time donations to the beneficiaries, but We encourage them to give monthly because it's an expression of, you know, living out their humanist values. So people sign up monthly, and we pick beneficiaries every quarter, and people can designate the money that they want to go to each beneficiary. So it's very customizable. If you want all the money to go to one beneficiary, you can do that. Or if you want it split up between the different beneficiaries, you can do that. You can change it as much as you want. And 100% of the donations that we get through the Humanist Giving Program that are designated to the beneficiaries go to the beneficiaries. We don't take any kind of cut. Or, you know, sometimes organizations will take a fee or a cut, and we don't do that.
So you have 5 beneficiaries each quarter?
Usually we have 5 beneficiaries. There's been best practices in giving and philanthropy has shown that the more you give to one organization, the more of a difference you can make. So every year we pick one beneficiary, one quarter, and we give all the money to that beneficiary. And we usually have people submit requests for proposals, RFPs, and letters of intent for that specific program. And we usually fund a very specific program or type of work for that beneficiary. So usually it's 5, but occasionally we have done 1, and we call that our Compassionate Impact Grant.
Where do you get the names for the charities that you give to?
We have gotten charities from all sorts of different places. Early on, people could recommend charities. Now we have a humanist giving coordinator, AJ, who is really familiar with a lot of the charities out there. And so, you know, sometimes board or staff will recommend a charity. Like sometimes I'll see a news story on a charity, and I'll ping AJ and say, hey, we should check this charity out. We get them in all sorts of different ways. And since we've been doing the Compassionate Impact Grant, the charities have come to us and they want to work with us. They're excited to work with us, and we've gotten to know a lot of great charities in that way.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the hands-on volunteering that people have done through you guys?
Sure. The main way that people can volunteer is through the Beyond Belief Network. This is what my charity has turned into, my charity that I merged into Foundation Beyond Belief. It's turned into the Beyond Belief Network. And what it is local groups around the country that are secular groups join the Beyond Belief Network, and they report their volunteering events to us, and we give them t-shirts and grants and things like that. The more volunteering events they do, they can level up and get more goodies. And so it's kind of a fun way to appreciate and encourage groups to do volunteering in their local community. So the best way is to go onto our website, foundationbeyondbelief.org/BBN, and you can look for teams in your area and see if there's a group in your area. So that's the best way. Groups do all sorts of different things, from food banks to blood drives to Minnesota Atheists did the St. Paul, Mr. Paul Ains, where they adopted a local minor league baseball team and converted it into a, instead of the St. Paul Saints, it was the Mr. Paul Ains.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm curious how that one went over with the fans.
Yeah, great. I mean, they did a great event. They had a fundraiser with it, and it was a great event. And so, you know, they're established in their community, and there are unique events, and there are kind of more traditional events. And there are over 125 teams in the Beyond Belief Network, so there's likely a team in the area. What? Where are you guys again?
I am in Wichita, Kansas.
And I'm in the Chicago area.
Okay, we definitely have teams in Chicago, and I'm not sure about Wichita.
We're just working on it right now. So secular organizations could get involved if they're already doing this
and yeah.
join the network. The ones that are already involved in their local groups could then join the network.
Yes, absolutely. And it's open to groups that are already volunteering or that want to volunteer in their community. We have a Facebook group where people can talk about the challenges that come with planning these types of events, get ideas for events. We have all sorts of guides for how to plan events, different types of events and things like that. So there are a lot of resources out there, both for new groups and for established groups. If you're an established group and you're doing volunteering and you're not reporting it to us, you're missing out on money, guys. We give grants for groups that report their events to us, and you can use those grants for different events that you have. And so you should be in the Beyond Belief Network if you're doing service events.
And do people pick their own groups that they will give to in their volunteer events, or does Foundation Beyond Belief choose for them?
Oh, no, they can pick their own. It's very customizable, and the groups can pick and plan their own events. And we just support the groups through grants and t-shirts and, you know, logistical support if they need it. And we have awards every year for the groups that do the most events and other different types of awards, the most volunteer hours. And, you know, it's really important to communicate about what we're doing. And Beyond Belief Network teams have donated over 100,000 hours of community service to their local communities.
You're listening to The Humanist Hour. I'm Stephanie Zavan. This week, Peggy Knutson and Jen Wilson are speaking with Noelle George, Executive Director of Foundation Beyond Belief, about her organization and what it accomplishes.
The more groups that join and that report their hours to us, that we can say the more, you know, we'll get to 500,000 hours in the next couple of years. And, you know, it's just an amazing example of what we can do when we work together. It sounds so incredible to be able to say that atheists have donated 100,000 hours to their local communities. It just shows how, you know, we do good things. We do positive things, and the religious don't have the corner on that market.
Where do those grants come from, Noelle, that are given to the network? And how is the organization itself funded, the administrative costs?
Right. We have a couple different ways that we fund our administrative costs. One is through the Foundation 50 program. Donors sign up and they give $50 or $100 or more monthly, and that goes to our operating costs. We also have an annual fundraiser at the end of the year where we raise funds for our operating costs. And, you know, sometimes we get grants or other donors give us money, but it's all funded outside of the, like I said, we don't take a cut off donations to our beneficiaries. It's all funded outside that.
And you're rolling out a fundraiser right now. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We're fundraising for the Humanist Service Corps program. American Humanist Association has generously offered a $10,000 match. And so during the month of September, we are fundraising for Humanist Service Corps. We, and this is a program fundraiser, not an administrative type fundraiser. So this goes to all the funds that are raised for the Humanist Service Corps go directly to the Humanist Service Corps expenses. And people can donate by going to fbbgive.org, fbbgive.org.
That's great. So they will, if you donate, your donation will be matched. Is that right?
Yes. And actually, if you donate through Good World, we have a fundraiser running through Good World right now. And if you donate, Good World will give you $10 to donate back to FBB. So like if someone donates $10 and they're a new donor through Good World, then Good World gives them $10, and then that $20 would be matched by the American Humanist Association. So really, you can turn $10 into $40 for FBB if you're a new donor through Good World. And you have to use our special referral link if you do that. So our referral link is on social media and on the fbbgive.org page.
So you mentioned the organization Good World. That just makes me think about the world, the entire world. Is Foundation Beyond Belief a worldwide organization?
Or definitely.
Is it just in the United States?
No. We are a 501c3 in the United States. And so if someone from another country wants to donate, they won't necessarily get a tax deduction. Anyone who donates who's from the United States can get a deduction on their U.S. taxes. But we fund beneficiaries all over the world. We have the Humanist Service Corps working in Ghana and the witch camps there. And so we're definitely a worldwide organization. And our logo is, you know, we call it the Humana Tree. It's a tree with continents on it. And so it definitely represents the fact that we're a worldwide organization.
And what's coming up in Australia?
Oh, actually, we're launching a Foundation Beyond Belief Australia. So we're doing fundraising in Australia to help us launch that. And it will be structured similarly to the U.S. Foundation Beyond Belief, but it will be the ability for Australians to get a tax deduction on their donations. And, you know, they'll have the beneficiary program, they'll have the volunteering program. And so it will be very similar to the United States Foundation Beyond Belief.
Tremendous. Well, you've shared a lot about the scope of this incredible organization. It sounds like it's grown incredibly well. Are there any other goals in the future that you can speak to? Any real hopes that you have for the next few years?
Well, Foundation Beyond Belief has grown an incredible amount in the past 5 years or 6 years that we've been in existence. We were incorporated in 2009. We launched our first beneficiaries in quarter one of 2010. So we're coming up on our seventh year in quarter one of 2017. And we've gone from helping other organizations through our beneficiary giving program, our humanist giving program, where we give to the beneficiaries, and through the Beyond Belief Network, the volunteering program where we help local groups. You know, we started with that and we were helping other organizations. And now we have our own direct service programs. We have the Humanist Service Corps that's working in the witch camps in Ghana. The volunteers there are doing some incredible work. We literally saved lives last year there with our medical records project. And the Humanist Disaster Recovery Teams, where we send people out to help after a disaster. Those are direct service programs where we are ourselves are running the volunteers. And instead of helping other organizations, we are managing it ourselves. And so, you know, what I would like to see for Foundation Beyond Belief over the next couple of years is to continue to grow and strengthen the programs that we have, because we grew so fast. You know, we're still kind of amassing the support that we need to manage those programs. And so, you know, I think that it's important for us to get the word out about what we're doing and continue to grow support for what we're doing. And that's one of the most important things that we're working on right now, and just kind of growing the reach of the organization and stabilizing the growth of the organization.
How do you get the word out currently? Let's say for a specific drive, or when there's a disaster and you send a recovery team out, how do you get that word out? Is it just through social media? Is it just through the networks that already exist?
Well, you know, we're currently building networks. We have some people like Hemet of the Friendly Atheist will post things for us. We have our own blog and our own Facebook page. And we've been growing that over the past year, and it's been really exploding. And then we also have kind of internal systems. Like, for example, people can join and sign up to be a volunteer with Humanist Disaster Recovery Teams. If they go to foundationbeyondbelief.org/HDR, they can find that. And there's an application, and there's no commitment, but people basically fill out where they are and where they're willing to go and what their skills are and what languages they know. And then, you know, we have a database of people. So like if we have a call, we're going to be doing a deployment here in Houston this fall. And so we basically put a call out to the database and see who's willing and able to come. So those are kind of some of the ways that we get the word out, and through podcasts and blogs and things like that too.
Does the group partner with other organizations nationally?
Actually, yes. We've recently launched a national partners program. So we partner with American Humanist Association, and we're talking to some other national secular organizations through the Beyond Belief Network. So if you lead a local group and your group is an affiliate of American Humanist Association, then you can get double credit for the volunteer hours that you do. So that's something that we've recently launched, and we're really wanting to work closely with some of the other organizations out there to further everyone's goals for atheists and humanists.
It seems like Foundation Beyond Belief has done really, really well in the goals it's set for itself in the past few years. Is there anything you can attribute that to, the success that it's had?
Wow. You know, I think good leadership by Dale McGowan. He had a vision, and he executed that vision. And, you know, I have a lot of admiration for what he started. And I think also that there was a real need. There's a real need for humanists to have something to transform their values into action. And, you know, there's a lot of times when, you know, you'll go to an event or whatever, and it'll be a great social event, but people want something more. You know, they want something that where they can live out their values and feel like they're doing something to make a difference. And Foundation Beyond Belief provides that.
Do you think it's important for Foundation Beyond Belief to be recognized outside of this secular realm that we're all involved with? Maybe in the media and just in other ways besides just the blogs that many of us read or the podcasts that we listen to?
Right. I think it's important for people to be aware that we do what we do. And I think that people are aware that we do what we do. Like, especially because we give grants to other charities, a lot of other charities are aware of us. And, you know, the people in the nonprofit world, they know about Foundation Beyond Belief. I recently had a meeting with someone with one charity who, a development director who had already heard of Foundation Beyond Belief through another charity that she had worked at. And, you know, so people in the nonprofit world, I think, are starting to know us. You know, they're starting to really respect the work that we do and understand that we're not just some, you know, here today, gone tomorrow organization, that we're here. And, you know, we're making a difference. And I think, you know, the average person out there might not be aware yet of us, but the media seems to go in cycles. They seem to focus on atheism for a while and then kind of be quiet about it for a while, like the mainstream media. And so I think it'll be interesting the next time that they go through a cycle where they're really focused on atheism. You know, maybe someone will come out as atheist who's famous or something, and there'll be a renewed focus on atheism and humanism. And, you know, when that happens, we're here and we have the proven track record of doing the work. You know, we have the 100,000 volunteer hours. We have the $2 million in grants that we've given. And, you know, we can say, you know, we are making a difference. We are making a positive impact on our community. We should be heard.
That might be a great goal to have someone who's well known, not just in the secular world, but in maybe pop culture, talk about the foundation and talk mm-hmm. about their support. That would be wonderful and a big boon, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a matter of the right opportunity at the right time. So,
Jen, is there anything else you want to know from Noelle?
You know, I think this introduction has been so thorough and covered so many corners. I'm really excited about what you're doing.
Thank you so much
for talking with us about it.
Is there anything else you want to add, Noelle?
I would just say that, you know, what we're doing is so important. We are a community that is coming together to make a positive impact on the world. And, you know, I appreciate a lot of different types of activism. I appreciate debates and things like that, but, you know, I value actions more than I value words, personally. And I'm not discounting the value of debates and words and things, but, you know, that you do have the old saying, actions speak louder than words. And I think that when it comes to showing, you know, that we're good people who care about our community, there's nothing like charity and volunteering that do that. And so I just encourage people who, you know, who do believe that, you know, there's nothing out there there's no, you know, God out there taking care of us, to help us take care of each other and look into the foundation and join. Become a Foundation 50 member, or sign up to be a disaster recovery team's volunteer, or encourage a local group to join the Beyond Belief Network, or, you know, message us and ask how you can help, because there's a ton of different ways to get involved. And a lot of times they don't require a lot of time or money.
There's a phrase that many people might recognize from if they have a religious background, about giving of your time or talents. And maybe we don't need to put it in those words, but putting your secular values into action is basically what you're doing.
Yes, it is what we're doing. And that's, you know, kind of our tagline. Like, our tagline is humanity at work. And, you know, we like to say that Foundation Beyond Belief helps humanists transform their values into action. So if you want to do something to improve the world, then I think Foundation Beyond Belief is a great way to do it.
Thanks, Noelle, for being with us today. It has been absolutely wonderful talking to you and learning more about the foundation. And hopefully people will go visit foundationbeyondbelief.org or the Facebook page.
Yes, and the Facebook page is facebook.com and then FOUNDBB, FoundBB. And our Twitter is also FoundBB.
Thanks for being with us today, Noelle.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I always like to talk about the foundation because it's just so positive and inspiring.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
As always, we value your feedback on the show. Have a comment or question for today's guests? Have a suggestion for a guest you'd like us to interview? Email us at humanisthour@americanhumanist.org or call our listener feedback line at 202-618-1371. Thank you again for listening to the Humanist Hour, the official broadcast of the American Humanist Association.